Remember the swine flu scare of 1976? That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic.
Dr. David Sensor, then head of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, is now in private industry. He devised the swine flu program, and he pushed it.
You began to give flu shots to the American people in October of 76.
October 1st.
By that time, how many cases of swine flu around the world had been reported?
There had been several reported, but none confirmed.
Where did this so-called deadly variety of flu, where did it first hit back in 1976? It began right here at Fort Dix in New Jersey in January of that year when a number of recruits began to complain of respiratory ailments, something like the common cold.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Saturday, May 8th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. I have a very specific show that I'm going to go over about pretty much one main document topic that I will then add some things to the end of, but it was specific to this topic. This one thing is why I decided to move a lot away for future shows for tomorrow and whatever the next show will be, because I wanted this to be an important focus. And that's what the title was in fact about. I just happened to see this by somebody on Twitter. I'll give them credit as we go through the show today. It's a pretty important thing to understand. Just the real overarching topic is that there is a whole lot of really sound, properly executed research, science, all the stuff they're telling us we should be trusting. There's a lot of it out there. And not only are they being ignored, disparaged, dismissed, attacked, but they're just outright, just like we're going to talk about today, that they are just simply pretending like they don't exist, which means that they are absolutely choosing which research science that they want to show you as the science, while pretending like the ones that counter it or have pretty much the most important things in regard to this discussion today for people that are actually concerned about what's going on inside of them, they just pretend like it's not there, which is absolutely dishonest, but criminal as well, especially with what's going on around the lies we're talking about today. But I'm planning on doing a show after this, a separate show, it'll be maybe on the same stream here for you, but it'll be a different show, and it will be with Robert Inlakesh after this to discuss what's going on in Palestine today, because it's pretty unreal, and he's been doing a good job covering it, and it deserves its own show. So too does this document, and that's why we decided to do this. Now, to start off today, what I wanted to say as well was that for those out there that got used to the way that I was scheduling these shows and the way that I would, put them up, schedule them on YouTube or wherever else, that terrible Sensor Monster Machine platform, and you would be able to know when I was going to go live. It's been a little bit hit or miss for me with these. There's so many platforms I'm using at once right now. I mean, I'm using at least over 12 of them. No. Well, in any case, a lot of them right now, and it becomes difficult to get the time nailed down. So for those, I will get more accustomed to hitting that mark that I set, which was 7:15 and it went past and so on, but bear with me. A lot's changing for good reason and in good ways. So let's first jump over to a couple of points in regard to Palestine. And I want you guys to see this article that he wrote a couple days ago. I've been really behind on getting this up, but this is an important article written by Robert Inlakesh. Netanyahu poised to spark third intifada if it means saving him politically. Now, this is not something that's even very contentious. The Israeli media writes about this kind of concept in past elections I've seen it at least three times, where they're saying Netanyahu is starting wars with Gaza to save his election or can put himself in a good political position. And it's not even hush hush talk. It's like very clear. They're all, yep, he's clearly doing that again. And so think about what that means. You're creating war. You're putting people's lives at risk, their families, their livelihoods, but they clearly don't care about that, as it's pretty constant. But the reality is that this is something that's happening now, and it is pretty horrific right now. And I'm not going to go too deep just now because I'm going to talk with Robert afterward. I highly recommend you read this article that gets into exactly why this is what's happening. But I also recommend that you take a look at his Twitter feed. He is doing an excellent job keeping up on what's really going on. And it's pretty horrific. I mean, I could go further down past April 30th. You see right there, Israeli settler extremists are breaking into Palestinian properties. Like, we talked about this, but I'm just going to start from April 30th and very quickly show you what he's showing you. And you can see the videos for yourself. Heavily armed Israeli forces caught on camera, brutally beating Palestinian teens in Jerusalem. Teenagers. Right, because that's totally normal in the only democracy in the Middle East. Scores of occupation forces punched and kicking defenseless minors already beaten on the floor. This happens pretty frequently, as far as I understand it, what I have seen personally, not in person, but reports. But the reality is, and this is, by the way, from someone like Robert, who has been there, right? Has been documented more than once. He filmed the entire documentary, Steal the Century. But anyway, the point is that this is happening pretty frequently. Israeli, this is May 1st, Israeli occupation forces prevent Christian worshipers from entering the Church of the Holy Sepulchre area in Jerusalem. Forgive my mispronunciation. Orthodox Christian Easter in Jerusalem is off to a tense start as Muslims prevented from praying in the Al-Aqsa this morning, which is very important to them. So this is think about the kind of concepts we scream about or our government pretends to care about, the religious freedoms and all these things and, you know, and human rights and whatever else they pretend to care about, where their chief ally in the world is routinely ignoring those things in a flagrant fashion and nobody seems to care. Robert says, I truly say this with a broken heart for the families. Tomorrow, Israeli settler racists will take the homes of six Palestinian families in Jerusalem. Now, understand that this term is not some kind of a subjective point. These people are openly racist, and especially the groups that we're talking about in regard to these areas, the Lavaha group, I believe that's how you pronounce it, the group that Robert wrote about that was actually doing that, kind of one of the main things that kind of triggered this whole what's happening right now. This is an openly racist group that is reported as such by the Israeli media. So it's just very funny that our media just can't seem to be honest with that reporting. Shocking, not to say that they're that much better or that better at all. Israeli occupation forces assault May 1st Palestinian Christians in Jerusalem. Like, this is not, you understand, this is constant right now. These are people that are not out there to do anything incorrect, but are being attacked and targeted by Jewish Israelis right now. It's happening all over the place. Israeli occupation forces on May 2nd have imposed a siege on Nablus, West Bank, collectively punishing Palestinians for an attack, which, by the way, also happens all the time. And this is something that they don't even verify. A rocket, they claim, can land in an open field. They can say that it's Hamas or Islamic Jihad. That doesn't then mean every Palestinian in this open-air prison is then guilty. But that's how they treat it. By the way, that is literally, undeniably, and a war crime. Collective punishment is a war crime. They don't care about committing war crimes. Prime Minister Netanyahu vows to strike our enemies hard, right? We're talking about Palestinians here, not Hamas. We're talking about Palestinians in Gaza. Israeli forces arrest, as well as the West Bank we're talking about in that case, but this is arrest a 13-year-old child in Jerusalem for protesting settlers stealing the homes of Palestinians. So you guys understand this point, in case you didn't see us report it, these are Palestinian homes that they own. And they're only there in the first place because they were displaced from their original homes. And these homes were built before they claimed that they were originally Jewish homes. It's on record. It's easy to look at that. These homes were clearly built by, and they try to argue that, oh no, those were originally Jewish homes and now we're going to take them back. And it all happens anyway, regardless of the facts. So this person's protesting that in the only democracy in the Middle East. And of course he gets arrested. Going forward, breaking Israeli forces, protecting settlers, stealing Palestinian homes. And this is where it begins, this very, very obvious divide. Well, the divide's always been there, but these people are walking around looking for Palestinians and beating them up in the streets. Robert's been covering it since this started. And where is the Western media? Israeli forces caught assaulting more unarmed Palestinians in Jerusalem. Armed Israeli settlers attacked the Palestinian village of Burin, torching its agricultural lands and assaulting residents. All right. Just so you guys are aware, I have the utmost faith in Robert's objectivity and his ability to report these things, not from a partisan standpoint. This is what's happening. And I mean, I've verified these things myself. This is horrific. And nobody in the Western media cares. Israeli airstrikes killed a Syrian civilian and injured two, according to local media reports. These strikes were reportedly larger than usual. This is May 4th. And have scared civilians who are woken. I mean, this is constant. This is now Syria we're talking about. Now, just in interest of time, these are some of the ones that I thought were pretty unreal. Israeli forces begin brutally assault unarmed Palestinians, including a young woman in Jerusalem. And this is all on record, guys. There's people filming this stuff and nobody cares about this, except for people like us. Israeli occupation forces just executed a 16-year-old Palestinian boy. The murder took place in Odala, south of Nablus. Israel has besieged Nablus, torn apart homes, shot, humiliated, and brutalized residents in recent days as settlers launch attacks. Just so for anybody that does maybe feels that this is one-sided, recognize that Gaza is an open-air prison, as the UN has always maintained. It is an occupied territory. Period. They have the legal right to armed rebellion. So just make sure you understand that when you factor in he threw a rock and that's why it's okay. Well, they have a right to armed rebellion as a legally occupied territory. No one cares about the law in this discussion, though. Israeli media are reporting that the Israeli occupation forces in Jerusalem will prevent Palestinians from entering the old city to facilitate the march that they want. This again, this is people trying to not take, they're marching in protest and they just simply don't let it happen. Beating up a 16-year-old child. Kid. Teenager, armed Israeli settlers, extremists who stole Palestinian homes, open fire on unarmed Palestinians who confront them. Unarmed Palestinians. Now, just this is some of the worst ones. This is as of yesterday. Israeli occupation forces fired directly into worshipers at Al-Aqsa Mosque. 163 Palestinians injured in Jerusalem. Medics even blocked entry. How can you possibly pretend this is okay? I don't care what your stance is. You're talking about people in process of worshiping. Imagine you're sitting in church and the police come in and just open fire on everybody. Is that okay? Doesn't matter what constituted, it doesn't matter what their justification is. It happened. Not even they're arguing everybody in this room was guilty of something. They just don't care to explain. Occupation forces injure 250 Palestinians in Jerusalem. Do you realize how many this is? This is over one day. There's a lot of this. It's rough. This one just kind of struck me. Israel's government and the IDF brutally attack innocent Palestinian woman in Jerusalem. Just so we're aware of what's really going on there. I recommend you take a time to go through this and look at it for yourself. Now, that took longer than I wanted it to be honest, but it's very hard to not care and report about this. I know we're going to be talking about it afterward, but this is pretty rough. The world should be ashamed. Look at Yemen today. This is on the 7th, supporting Palestine. Look at that. And this is why they're the bad guys, right? Because they support the people that your government doesn't want them to support. Also, you know, they don't support the illegal president pushed in by the U.S. and the Saudis, you know, and this is why we're seeing what we're seeing. And this is in the midst of a massive starvation campaign against them. And still they go out in the streets and protest in support of other people who are also being attacked for the same reasons. These are the bad guys, according to your government. An article from Mint Press News in wake of health. This is the Human Rights Watch report that came out and said that Israel's an apartheid state. Exactly what we've always been saying. And of course they come out and say, you're racist, because that's all they have when you point out that truth. But this is what's funny is it says, this is basically, this is a great article to read. Much of the online anger at this report was actually manufactured by an Israeli government sponsored app. That's interesting. Doesn't that seem relevant to everything else going on? Which, by the way, organized the supporters of the Jewish state to act in sync to create an artificial groundswell of opposition to it. And you have to recognize that a lot of those are not even real people. This is how this works. And it's not a secret. Our government does it. They all do it. But this is why you get the illusion of what they want you to see. The Israeli government is an Israel's an apartheid state. That's what it is. And anybody honest can recognize that. Now it's a vaccine apartheid state. On top of that, we have one that I've been calling for such a long time because it's so obvious this was coming. The president of Mexico calls out. It says Mexican president accuses the U.S. government of promoting a coup ahead of the Kamala Harris meeting. Shocking. If those that watch this show haven't seen, know for how long I have been calling this out and saying, yes, they do not like this guy, as well as the fact that he also just happens to have some resources that they want. You know how that tends to work. But they don't like him because he's more of a, you know, Maduro. I'm just blanking on his name all of a sudden. Morales, even Morales kind of a guy, right? You know, he tends to care more about his people than you know, not even to say that I know as a fact. But the point is that this is a guy who's doing things in, very clearly for the people that you would argue the, you know, elitists would rather keep for themselves. That tends to be what happens here, as opposed to him selling out his people for national and for international interests. Some of it actually goes to them. Not even going to say that he hasn't done things that I disagree with as well, but it's just ridiculous how obvious this stuff continues to be. And one note on Venezuela, since we're in foreign policy, between the lines from Mint Press News, congressional report finds U.S. sanctions to blame for Venezuela crisis. Shocking. And this is the U.S. government's own report. Isn't that ridiculous? If the U.S. government's propaganda is correct, that the current crisis is due to Maduro's mismanagement and corruption, then illegal and inhumane sanctions would not be needed to dislodge the regime. Think about the logic there, right? If he's the one ruining everything, they wouldn't need to do all this to force them to fail. It's just, this is painful. But the point is that people who want to believe Venezuela bad guy or whatever else the narrative is, they do so because they want to, because they go along with a party line. The reality is the facts are not hard to find. Look up plenty of work from Abby Martin that just on the ground in Venezuela, very clearly showing you what they're lying about, such as the story about eating animals from the zoo, which was a complete fabrication. People were stealing small animals that were extremely rare and selling them for money because they were abusing a situation the U.S. created. And they claim they're stealing, you know, little macaques to eat because they're starving. Yeah. Meanwhile, there's a tiger over here, but who cares? You know, it's just, it's a joke. There's so many things like that. But here's just the last part. Venezuela was once one of the most prosperous countries in Latin America. I just want to include that because that's true, as well, just like Libya had the highest quality of life in any country in Africa until the U.S. government destroyed it for liberation. Now they sell open slaves, right? That's liberation. But it says an official U.S. Congressional Research Service report, an official U.S. Congressional Research Service report entitled Venezuela Background in U.S. Relations, issued April 28th. Suggest the Venezuelan government has valid arguments that it's being strangled by U.S. Shocking. That's really hard to prove. You know, I recommend you read this. It's a good article. Both of those were. I just wanted to make sure those points got out there for you to see. Now, on that note, 17 minutes in. Geez. See, I'm well aware of why these things run so long. It's like I in my mind, I'm like, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. We'll get it done. But that stuff's important. It really is. Now, the reason I want to get through this quickly is because I do want to make sure it's not too late when Robert and I go. So I'm going to try to go through this as quick as I can. Not in a rushed way, but, you know, without taking too much time like I'm doing right now. Now, this is a very important article or a PDF document that is, I mean, this just blew me away. This is something that I can't believe was published by Pennsylvania University and their Center for Evidence-Based Practice, you know, one of those anti-science fringe conspiracy theory groups. In December 2020. So this is after all the trials had supposedly been done for the most part, even though we know they're ongoing all the way until 2023. But that's the narrative, right? We're all safe and trialed and we're tested. And now we're going to start in January into 2021. We're administering these vaccines. Okay. This is December 2020. And here's what they found. I'll go over the summary to begin. And then I'll read you a couple interesting points. This is definitely going to be one I'm going to try to clip. Have Brock do maybe right after this for tomorrow. But I'm so behind on those clips. He does a great job, by the way. I'm just so behind. Adverse effects of messenger RNA vaccines. So they did a specific study. They researched exactly the problems, which, by the way, you're just not seeing anywhere. Shocking, right? Like, wouldn't you think if we're all these side effects and they want to prove to you that they're not really there and it's all just over fake reports and lies and whatever else? Wouldn't you think they would specifically do a study that was like, let's look into what problems there are? Obviously not, because then they'd find what problems there are, right? An evidence review from the Penn Medicine Center for Evidence-Based Practice, December 2020. You can see that they have two medical doctors and one PhD involved. Project director, lead analyst, clinical review. Evidence summary. There are no specific guidelines for messenger RNA vaccines or contraindications to mRNA vaccines, which, you know, remember, are like your side effects. Now, it says, and this is interesting there. There are no specific guidelines for the use of it, which is kind of interesting when you think about it. Yes, it's something they're claiming that, you know, even though they at one side of their mouth say, we've been working on it for decades, and that's why we did it so fast. And then if you bring it up in this context, they say, no, it's brand new. And that's why we don't. Typical in the mainstream media or the, you know, circles that trust whatever they're being told. There's always a contradiction that they somehow make sense of. But no guidelines for specific use is quite interesting, because shouldn't there be some kind of guideline or, you know, like generalized for how much is too much or not? That's not really there. just which speaks to the unbridled, unregulated nature of this whole thing. But it says no large trials of any mRNA vaccine have been completed yet. Now, recognize that is being stated by Pennsylvania University in December 2020, after we're told that these have been completed. You'll see why they say that, because they'll say that there have been trials. They just tell you clearly that they are not large trials. They have not done their due diligence, as we've always been told it needs to be done. That's why they say that. Haven't been done. Now, you can argue that they're rushing through animal trials and rushing through testing on children, pregnant women, because that totally makes sense. But they're doing that now. But this is at a point when it wasn't, and they'd already begun, or they were just about to begin administration. The only evidence on safety of mRNA vaccines comes from small phase one and phase two trials of SARS-CoV-2 vaccines with follow-up typically less than 2 months. And you'll see that they comment on this again when it goes through, meaning that this is not enough. Not even close. Systemic adverse events such as fatigue, muscle aches, headache, and chills are common. Here's the big one that really floored me. Severe systemic adverse events, which, remember, death, plenty of them. I could bring it up for you right now on the FDA, but they don't even include half of the things that are being reported. Severe adverse events, death is an obvious one, but we've seen all these. The thrombosis, the stroke, the heart attacks, which are, you know, they're all seemingly connected. Or anaphylactic shock that could lead to some severe issues, or any number of things we've seen. Bell's palsy, neurological disorders, Guillain-Barré syndrome. All of these have been reported. Most of them have been confirmed. This is telling you, severe systemic adverse events were reported in their trials by 5 to 10% of the trial subjects. Let me ask you something. I don't care if this was 20 people, which is not, by the way. You can look through this for yourself. This is what should have been done. It is valid and should have been reported, but we know why that's not happening. They looked at this and said, "Whoa, well, that goes again. That'll make people realize," or maybe they're like, "That must be fake because it goes against what we know." However they perceive it, but they say that will scare people away from vaccines. So we're not going to report that, right? That's a conscious choice to hide facts from you, because they have decided that that goes against the larger agenda. So are these actually journalists, or are they working towards an agenda? Obviously, it's the latter if they make this choice. I've never even seen this until it was, and this is the crazy part about where we are in the world today, that this is huge. There's a lot of this stuff, these huge studies being done about showing the spike protein being the very thing that's causing the problem. And even studies asking, does this implicate the vaccine? Just no talk about it, complete absence. There's not, again, I make this point, there's not a counterbalance. There's not another study that came out and said, no, that one's fake. This is the truth. That is the science. There is no other studies currently in you. They're probably coming out. They're probably rushing through to get their own paid studies out that contradict it, which is just ridiculous, which is what they do. But the science is there, and they're choosing to just absolutely pretend like it doesn't exist. All of this stuff, it blows me away. Do you realize how much 10% of 350, we'll just say 300 to make it easy, 300 million people, I think now we're at 350 something, 370, we're, you know, this is say 300 million, easy to break down. 10% of that is 30 million people. Really think about that for a second and ask yourself if you believe that possible death, severe adverse events, it's acceptable to allow potentially 5 to 10% of the country to deal with that because of something that has a dramatically lower risk. Not my opinion, directly stated from the CDC. You understand that 10%, even though that doesn't immediately amount to death, neither does the COVID-19 discussion, right? So if we're just talking about technically we're going to take the infection fatality rate, which is 0.14%. That puts you hell of a lot lower. But how about the people that have 0%? Children, teenagers. How about the people that are in their 20s, 30s that are very healthy, basically well less than the flu, but sure, let's give them something that's experimental, that's unapproved, that we will put in their body that could potentially cause up to 10% of the people that take it, according to Pennsylvania University, to have a potentially serious event. Some of them that last for the rest of your life. I just couldn't believe that. But let's continue. Localized adverse events such as pain and the injection site are common. Both systemic and local adverse events usually are resolved within 1 day or two. And these are the ones, the local, not severe, just adverse, either systemic or local. And these are, you know, the ones we've been hearing about, whether internal or out, the kind of headaches, nausea, that kind of stuff. And that's actually, at least in my experience, that hasn't been the case from what I've been seeing. But in their study, they found about 1 to 2 days. And maybe that's just because we're focusing in on the ones that seem to be more severe, which is understandable. The rate and severity of adverse events appears to be higher for the second dose than the first, which we know. But when you add in 10% possible severe adverse events, or 5 to 10, that becomes quite a bit more dangerous, doesn't it? Higher vaccine doses, this is interesting, appear to increase the rate and severity of the adverse events. You wonder, maybe that's what they were testing on those inmates, that all 77 of them got overdoses or whatever that number was, which was just obscene. Like, it's such a joke. Oops, we accidentally did that 70 times in a row, right? I mean, there's clearly testing going on. That's my opinion. But I don't know how you could think that makes sense. There's been multiple events like that. I pointed one of those out in the very beginning of all this, where there was this really weird incident where hopefully you guys remember that, where it was one of these local places that said, like, oopsie, we gave all these people triple doses. And it was like, I think it was like 4 or 5 people, but it doesn't make sense. How, because you understand that they give them in those doses, in those bottles, which are, they're told how many are supposed to be taken. So unless this is just overwhelming incompetence, they just over and over and over took way too much using multiple bottles without realizing. None of that makes sense to me, but, you know, to each their own. But it says larger trials of SARS-CoV-2 vaccines are in progress and the results expected mid-2021. So not yet. This is the point we keep making. Like, to bang your head against a wall with this. We are currently in vaccine trials, not pregnant women or kids, the whole dang thing, guys. And this is Pennsylvania University telling you that. Now, the argument would be, well, that's December and they just finished early. Which, by the way, there's no evidence to support. They just state that because it makes them feel better. But that's not true. And we've seen very clearly that they even have deadlines to present data to prove the efficacy of these vaccine ingredients, which we already reported on, that go until 2022 or 2021 in the middle. But the point is, all of these are stated to go until 2023. There is not sufficient evidence to support any conclusions on the comparative safety of different mRNA vaccines. So look, if you don't have sufficient evidence to support conclusions on the comparative safety, that means in general, as well as comparing, because you do not have the data enough to say that they're safe. That is what they're telling you. By the way, that doesn't necessarily mean they're not safe. I think they're not safe, but they're just simply telling you that they don't have sufficient evidence to make that claim. This is what honesty looks like. This is what, in real stuff, for whatever reason, they're coming out and they're saying what we've been saying. Or that, rather, they said this in December. And understand, they're not changing them since then. Their arguments of working on variant thing, that's not changing the main ones. M1275 or whatever the Moderna one is, or BN1245, I can't remember them. But, you know, the specific ones where you have the name, the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine, those are the same. And if December 2020, we didn't have enough evidence, we sure as hell don't now. Because all they're doing is, well, maybe they do after testing on you, but that's the point, isn't it? Direct evidence on the comparative safety of mRNA vaccines and other vaccines is lacking. So all the people saying, we've got decades of vaccine technology to prove that these things, nope, don't have that. No evidence of the comparative safety of the mRNA vaccines versus all the rest of the ones they've had before. It's funny how the lies just tumble out of the mainstream media, right? This stuff is easy. This is the science. I love how they keep saying, trust the science, though, right? Now, just a couple points in here I want to share. There's actually some interesting stuff in here that you might want to look at, showing you the different kinds of vaccines here. The AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, or the adenovirus, non-replicating viral vector, or so we're told anyway. I don't know why we trust anything they tell us, but this is the narrative, the storyline is these ones are the mRNAs, which is very telling that these are the two that suddenly got focused on and said, well, these look like they may cause blood clots, but we don't think so, though, you know, doing their job. No, there's no link, even though it's been 100% proven. Norway has proven this, as I've shown many times. And this is just one. I'm actually going to make a point about this in a second. I should have just waited until then. But Norway has confirmed, yes, it does cause blood clots, which do lead to death. This is a fact. So this vaccine is dangerous, because remember, the definition of dangerous means it can. Let's just do it again. I forget what it was now. That's an important point to make because of the way, you know, language matters. That's what it is. Able or likely to cause injury or harm. So being able to cause harm meets the definition of dangerous. So these vaccines are dangerous. To what degree? Well, you can decide for yourself. But they're confirming that danger. They're saying, yes, this thing caused death, period. Oops. I knew I would do that. I wasn't going to get to that today. Where was I? Oh, yeah, we're still here. Now, I'm going to make some points about that in a second. That might even be next. I'll show you her who shared this online. But if it's proven to be dangerous, then that the idea, well, my point was simply that these are the ones that they decided to go, oh, look, these things are, you know, maybe, but we can't prove a link. And that's what they're all still saying, even though it's very clearly proven. And it's not just one, by the way. That's just the fact that they prove that it can happen. There's plenty of them around and ones that have been confirmed as well in different countries. But it's weird that the mRNA ones, which are not even arguably, statistically speaking, causing far more issues. And yes, they are being used more, but that doesn't factor in when you just do the math. It's far, far more. And I think there's a reason that they want you to err on the side of the mRNA vaccines, seeing as how that's been the future direction for long before COVID-19. Shocking, though, right? It's like they almost plan these things. But coming down here, under results, it says, again, they found no guidelines regarding patient groups for whom mRNA vaccines should be avoided. Like, so this is in December 2020, by the way. So this stuff, they have changed these since then, but it says this is likely due to a lack of this approval. Where's the point? Right here. It says it is of the information they have is of low quality and based on limited evidence. It says because no clinical trials involving children have been reported yet, understand that they're doing them now, which is just wild to me. It's insane that they're testing on these children with zero risk, according to the CDC. And it says, and this is the point that I keep making, which nobody wants to acknowledge, and it's not, I'm not the only one, children have less risk of serious illness or death. Not less risk, 0%, according to the CDC. I mean, guys, this is not even, it's easy to find this. Canada listed from 19 to 0 as 0%. And yet we're pretending like they're in danger and we need to test them to make sure. It says vaccination of children is not recommended. So why would we even begin the test if we already know they're not at risk and it's not necessary? There's something more nefarious happening here, in my opinion. For a summary of a guidance on COVID-19 vaccines for women who are pregnant and breastfeeding, please see this wrapping on the topic. But it says down here as well, children and young people, so not just children, but, you know, teenagers, have a very low risk of COVID-19, severe disease, or death. So all the way around. Why don't we hear that from the media? Because they don't want you to think you don't need the vaccine, even when you don't need the vaccine. Isn't that funny? And it says very clearly, due to SARS-CoV-2 compared to adults, and so COVID-19 vaccines are not routinely recommended for children and younger people under 16. But yeah, we just skip right past that because danger, they said. Even though that puts you in danger. But yeah, don't think too hard on it. I keep saying this from the very beginning. This whole time, they've been doing very dangerous things for your safety. Because that totally makes sense, doesn't it? Just think about it the whole time. Oh, well, COVID's so dangerous, we need to do this thing that puts you at very, very serious risk. But it's all hinging on the claim that we're in danger. But why would you do dangerous things because we're in danger? That just doesn't make sense. But coming down to the bottom, last thing is under conclusions. It says the current evidence base on messenger RNA or mRNA vaccines is made up entirely of small early stage trials. Quite different here when you hear from, you know, the science, right? Nearly all of which examined only short-term outcomes. That's why they don't know the long term, despite all of the screamers on Twitter. Oh, the long haul. Oh, the long term stuff. Well, sure, possible, isn't it? Anything's possible. But until we have science and results, you can't keep screaming about the science to back up your claims, can you? Excuse me. Nearly all of which examined only short term outcomes. All of them are small early stage trials. They sure care about your safety, huh? They lack sufficient power for testing the statistical significance of most results, which is all that matters in science, guys. And I keep saying this. If it doesn't have a statistically relevant or statistically significant effect or difference on the outcome, it doesn't matter in regard to the science. And that is, I mean, I shouldn't say it doesn't matter, but it doesn't matter in effect to the outcome. Like, if it doesn't have a statistical difference, you don't factor it in. You don't just do it anyway. That's not science. That's just dogma. But that's the point. All the mask studies have said that, all the random controlled trials, all of the peer-reviewed science, except for these models they jammed through after this is all started, right? I mean, for crying out loud, even I haven't brought this up, and I shouldn't even do this right now because I was waiting. See, this is why it goes long every time, but I've just really quickly. This is for those that haven't seen this or haven't covered it in a while. I remember covering this way in the beginning before like anybody had talked about this. This is May 2020, and this is the CDC doing a meta-analysis of all of the data around masks and other things. 14 random controlled trials. When you get to the mask section, it's pretty interesting what it has to say. right? Where it tells you very clearly in pooled analysis, we found no significant reduction, yes, in influenza transmission with the use of face masks, but they use influenza-like illness because that's how they do these studies. Don't listen to all the propaganda nonsense. When they've done studies in the past for influenza-like illness, which is what they're talking about here, ILI, they apply those to other influenza-like illnesses, such as COVID-19. So all this screaming about how that's not COVID, it doesn't apply. Yes, it does. And it takes 2 seconds to see them applying it before COVID-19 in every possible way to other respiratory illnesses. They've changed the game and moved the goalpost 1,000 times since this has started. The reality is there is not a significant reduction, according to the CDC, in regard to face masks of the random controlled trials they had at their disposal. Right? This isn't like, oh, we lied because we wanted the hospitals to have them, so we manufactured an entire 14 random control study. No, this is the study based on whether it actually makes a difference, and they told you the truth. And then suddenly it shifted, and they said, well, here's a model that says different, so we're going to ignore our massive meta-analysis of all the science before this and look at the one thing we did before this or any ones that come out afterward that we like. I recommend you go through this for yourself because it says a lot of important things here. Limited evidence for their effectiveness in preventing influenza transmission, either when worn by the infected person for source control or when worn by uninfected persons to reduce exposure. Boom. Shatters the entire narrative. Doesn't protect you. Doesn't protect them. Not a statistically significant reduction. No significant effect. Anyway, of course, this is why it goes too long. But that's the point here. When they found no statistical significance, they lack sufficient power for testing. They lack sufficient power for testing the statistical significance of these vaccines. Think about what that means. They don't know for sure is what that means. They do not have sufficient power for testing. And this was in December 2020, but that's why they're testing on you in the real world right now. And for assessing the risk of serious but uncommon adverse events. They don't know, says Pennsylvania University. The size of these trials and their dual purpose in evaluating dosing and safety precludes quantitative synthesis or grade analysis of their results. You realize what that says? They combined the safety and the dosing efficacy trials. Remember all those people are screaming, no, that's efficacy, it's not safety. No, they combined them, guys. That was the point. Dual purpose in evaluating that together. It says, but there are a few trends that appear to be consistent across different studies. Since systemic adverse events such as fatigue, headache, muscle aches, and chills, so not the systemic severe adverse events, but just the regular ones, are common, but they are usually resolved, as I said before, localized adverse events. I think this is just, we're repeating what we said up there. 5 to 10% right there. 5 to 10%. The rate of severe adverse events. Severe enough to interfere with a person's daily activities, but we know what severe is. We've shown you the list. Death is on that list. Severe adverse events or effects appears to be in the range of 5 to 10%. That is pretty alarming. Now, in the interest of time, I want to move forward, but guys, this is just incredible. Recognize how much they're keeping from your view. Oh, and this was Angela Nashville on Twitter that shared this. And thank you, Angela, for sharing the link. She does a great job sharing a lot of this stuff and keeping it going so people know what's happening. But it's important to everybody out there that if you share content like this, especially today, like this, like she's doing right here, make sure you share the link. So thank you, Angela. This is important because I might take the effort to go and like look up someone's name from a screenshot and find it for myself or whatever you need to do. But the people that are already willing to dismiss this stuff, if there's not a link or source material, they'll probably dismiss it anyway with a source link. But if you, they're the person that might want to change, be willing to look at new information, will be willing to do so if they can follow that rabbit hole. But if you just show it and say, this is the case, they might be just like, who knows? It might be fake. Right? It's very important that we share that link. So I appreciate that, Angela. And I've never seen this until she shared it. Very important stuff. Defenders showing us that Canada confirms second death linked to AstraZeneca, becomes first country to approve Pfizer for young teens. Right, because we're already approving the drug, the experimental injection for young teens under 16, despite what we just told you, despite the FDA document as of end of April saying the same thing. Right. This is what's incredible to me is this is strange, though. It's April 6th still for some reason, but I have seen this revised twice since then. Regardless, we're talking April 2021. Hasn't changed since then. Right. They're telling you that you cannot give this to somebody who is 16 years old. FDA has authorized the emergency use of Pfizer vaccine in individuals 16 years and older. And they tell you as it goes through there very clearly, and what's interesting too, is when you go through this, apologize if you can hear my dog snoring back there. There is, I'm not going to waste my time. I feel like I'd get bogged down trying to find this stuff for you guys. But the section here is very clear when they state like what you can, can't, should not do. And they make it very clear. They tell you, look, you need to tell people that this is not an approved vaccine, that it is not. There is no FDA approved vaccine to treat COVID-19. That's as of April 2021. And they're going to give it to young teens anyway, because they're claiming it's the danger is more important, but the danger is statistically very easy to look up right now, and it doesn't. So they think this is how stupid that they actually think we are. They think that they're telling you that you're in danger when they're pointing to a number that literally shows that you're not in danger, and saying, well, because of that danger that we're telling you is there, we're going to put this in children's arms, even though their risk is zero. Think about how incredible that is, and people are walking into this. A 50-year-old woman from Canadian province of Alberta died from a rare blood clot condition after receiving the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine. The province's chief medical officer of health said this. This is the chief medical officer, right? So this is what I keep trying to tell people. The second paragraph is what is the important acronym, the important part. In a statement Tuesday, Dr. Dina Hinshaw said that the woman died of vaccine-induced immune thrombotic thrombocytopenia, VITT. That's what I keep telling people. The U.S. government has acknowledged this. It was Canada's second confirmed death of vaccine-induced thrombotic thrombocytopenia linked to the vaccine. Right? That's funny. I just say link. It's called vaccine induced, for crying out loud. The point is that this is all over the place. And if we've admitted it, Norway's admitted it, Canada's admitted it, what are we talking about? People are dying from this thing, and they're pretending like they're still playing, well, we don't know for sure, as we call it, vaccine induced thrombosis. Come on. Now, I don't care if you think this is the smallest risk possible. Informed consent demands that people know you can die from this. They're not doing that. They're refusing to inform people about the reality of this. And as that document I keep showing you from October 2020 finds, the science, that they are not doing that, that there is a significant and severe risk of antibody-dependent enhancement from this vaccine, and they just don't inform you about that. That's the science. There's not a counter-article to that. According to the CBC News, Canada has reported 7 cases of blood clots following immunization with AstraZeneca, but public health officials maintain, guess what? The benefits of the vaccine outweigh the potential risks. All right, so you realize they even say potential risks, right? So they don't know, and this is the stupidest part. If we're still finding these things out, and right now they're doing trials to find out how serious the anaphylactic shock issue is, or how whether it's affecting menstrual cycles, that means they don't know the risks. They're looking into them. So how in the world can you argue the benefits outweigh something that you're still investigating? There's a reason, though. You've heard the mantra, the benefits outweigh the risk, over and over and over, and you'll see why in a second, because it's a legal necessity to make sure that they can give this an emergency use authorization. In a statement Wednesday, Alberta Health said they will continue to administer AstraZeneca's COVID vaccine. Quote, this does not change the risk assessment previously communicated. Oh, just because you said it before, you mean like 3.4% death rate? Yeah, we told them before. No, 0.14. That is the overall risk here. And they're telling you that that is enough. And that's, again, how about if you're a teenager, which they just said you they're going to give it to, 0% risk. How does that not change the risk assessment? If you're at 0% risk, any risk is too much. But they don't care about that. Staggering. Now, here is a point that I wanted to share. Now, this is what I was saying before. Now, this is somebody, just a random comment. This person's talking about the vaccine, possible shedding discussion, you know, with the vaccine. And there's a lot. I went over that. I was going to show it in a second, I think. Self-spreading vaccines, self-amplifying mRNA vaccines, and COVID vaccine menstrual disruption. A great episode. I'm not making any claims. I'm just simply going, well, I'm sure I did in my own opinion, but I'm just going over the facts. I'm going over the history and the science and the documents of self-spreading vaccines that have been discussed long before COVID-19, or the fact that Johns Hopkins literally discusses using these for the future to fight COVID-19, not in animals, but in humans. So it means a vaccine that you can take and it would spread to people around you. Say goodbye to informed consent that they're not even doing anyway. This is not a joke. It's very easy to look up. But the point is, and they'll pretend it's fake news if you don't do your due diligence. Oops, going way ahead. Or was I? So he's talking about this. This person's talking about that discussion, you know, shedding, whatever. This person said, well, that's not true. Right? Because they know, you know, and says, we don't know if it's true or not at this point. Oh, so an objective person concerned about something that may be true. Right. And they're the conspiracy theorist, not the person that says, I know for sure because news told me. Right. The world is on its head. It's ridiculous. But he follows up by saying no one is being injected with the live virus. Therefore, none is shedding and spreading the virus. Such certainty. This is what I call false certainty. And he says nobody knows. Again, being objective, not even being mean. A family friend just passed away today, 1 week after taking it. So here's some, you know, they could be lying, but we know that has happened. And this is a real world example. Okay. From what? Clearly, he knows what she's talking about. And so think about the logic of saying, we don't know for sure it's the vaccine. But then later down here, when he says, my friends have all died from COVID, it's like, okay, so you know that for sure, but you will not accept the others. It's a contradiction. But he says, obviously the vaccine. Have you seen the reports on Bayer's? I hope you aren't one of those bots who believes the government cares about them, right? So he says, no one has been killed by the vaccine. No one. And this is where I jump in. Well, he says, have you living under a rock? People are, he meant dying. And he says, share some news reports then. Time to expose the governments of the world for killing its citizens. He's trying to make fun of him. This guy, I mean, this is the problem. This is what we're dealing with, right? I just showed you the facts, but here's where I just shared the one. I just said, do your own due diligence. This is what's funny is he's like, he's convinced that no one has died. He said, yeah, then share it then. Share it. Prove it. Why should we have to spoon feed you the information? You know, he doesn't care. He's decided what the truth is. I said, here's Norway confirming the blood clots tied to vaccines and people died after those clots. That's a fact. And we just showed you. Even the U.S. government has acknowledged VITT, vaccine-induced thrombocytopenia. That you don't know that is what the government counts on. Here's what he said. This is the second time I've showed you an example like this. And this is one of the most important problems. He says, one dead, period. I've had more friends die from COVID in the past several months than that. Ah, so now he just shifted the goalpost and so, well, okay, for the one then, fine. That he's just taken at face value because news said, right? This was right after I commented this. So let's pretend he even read the article. So the title was enough to, okay, then he's right. Here's what I said. Wow. So you go from no one died and patronizingly defending that to, well, only one. I wasn't even trying to be mean. Can you not take a beat and realize that you, in fact, do not know all the details? Likely because you've decided, unless it comes from a mainstream media source, it is fake news. And I follow that up by saying the reality is that it's easy to do your due diligence and from official sources, if that's what you want, and see that, in fact, that there have been thousands of reported deaths and a lot confirmed around the world. You to assume you know your friends died of COVID when they admit that they count uncertainties is a choice. I would have written more if I had more space. The point is we know. They're being very liberal with the death count, as Dr. Burke said, or the individual, what was the black lady's name? I forget where she was from, where she openly stated this. If they die within 28 days of a test without anything else, we count that as a death. They could have gotten in a car accident, it would have been a COVID death. They could have gotten the flu, pneumonia, any number of things. If they're wearing these masks all day long, they could have gotten bacterial pneumonia. It's a very common thing, and that can be deadly. So can a lot of the stuff. So can the flu, for crying out loud. And where'd that go? It's disappeared. Where are all those deaths going? We're talking tens of thousands. So they report anyway, right? So this is the ridiculous nature of this. But the point is, this person is he's just laughing and, you know, zero, zero. I know because I'm and then I show him an article and he goes, okay, fine, then one, but, and add something to it. You can't just go, oh, I was incorrect. There is a death. And the reality is this is just one article. There's so many examples of this. These people refuse to look at anything that they think counters their narrative. That's what's happening right now. And they think they're correct because they don't see it. This is a big problem, but it doesn't mean we give up. Right? Here's the interesting point is this guy is probably really frustrated that he just got shown that he was wrong, but he won't forget that either. He will remember that one person has died and that won't go away from his brain. He probably won't dig any further, but there's some progress made there. As I always say, the best thing you can do, Twitter is never the place for it because Twitter is just a vitriolic hellscape of negativity. But the reality is if you go to somebody and you know, maybe not even lie, just kind of try to find common ground, you know, and they're talking about the vaccine and you go, you know, some of these things have had some positive thing, you know, whatever, like something that doesn't really conflict with what you really believe. Or you could just lie and say, you know, yeah, I heard these vaccines are great and I think I'm going to get it too. And then you go, but you know what? I just saw this study. What do you think about this? Right. And then they're going to accept it because, oh, he's on my side. So they're going to read it. And then you can discuss it from a pro-vaccine standpoint. Right. And I know that's ridiculous, but this is what's necessary to reach some of these people. And you know what? They'll look at it. They'll read it. And you can both stand there and be like, yeah, that's crazy, right? But I might still get it, right? Whatever you want to do. But then you've gotten that information in their brain that, oh, look, you can die from, oh, look, you can get thrombocytopenia. Oh, look, these people got strokes. You know, this is important. But, you know, the truth is, however you can get it done, it's important that we continue trying to find people like Gunkle T and showing them how wrong they are, but in a way that will productively go forward, not going, you're an idiot because you don't know. You know, that never works. Never works. This is an interesting point going forward from AstraZeneca. Not only blood clots, EMA assessing reports of AstraZeneca jab linked to rare immune disorder. This is what we've already talked about. This is just being covered now. You realize how I ask you all, do me a favor. Go back through the ones that you can find that YouTube hasn't deleted or anybody else and find some of my older videos that we did in the beginning of 2020 and, you know, the first half of 2020. And go out there and share the, and say, look, Ryan talked about this all the way back then. That's something that's just now happening. Or, you don't have to say it's me. Just say, look, independent media has been covering this discussion. Find Whitney Webb's articles and be like, look at this. She was showing you this way back then. She was censored for it. People made fun of it. And now the media is reporting it. Right? Now they're slowly trying to find this weird way of admitting it without pretending like they were guilty. It's frustrating. But it says the European Medicines Agency is investigating reports of AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine causing, guess what, Guillain-Barré syndrome. We've talked about that a bunch, as the pharmaceutical company remains embroiled in controversy over the jab's link to blood clotting. It's not, guys, even, in, I mean, I don't know if you would call RT independent media, but the point is that there's a lot of people out there that are refusing to use. I was actually just in a group today. We were talking about this in regard to, you know, on the show that I try to always say experimental injection. Because it's not a vaccine, guys. This is not, that's what, if you have to change the definition of the word vaccine to call it a vaccine, then it's not a vaccine by definition. But the reality is that this is something that is experimental and unapproved and a genetic, I mean, look, the idea that of genetic therapy is not a stretch of the imagination. It states that about mRNA. They just make some weird equivocation about why it doesn't do this one thing. So it's technically not the same way they do with alter your DNA, despite the fact that new studies have already shown that the spike protein alone can dramatically and forever alter your genetic makeup. I'm not saying that's absolutely true. The science could be wrong. The author could be wrong, but that is the science. And there's nothing else out there saying, nope, that's not the truth. So they're ignoring the science while they tell you to trust the science. Well, what they mean is trust me, trust the dogma. In a meeting this week, the European Medicines Agency Pharmacovigilance Risk Assessment Committee revealed that it was assessing reports in the rare immune system disorder being found in people following vaccination. Now, remember what this means? Pharmacovigilance. That's why they know this stuff, because they're tracking all these people, whether they want it or not, right? Your pharmacovigilance is the tracking of everyone who's getting vaccinated for 2 years. We talked about this way in the beginning of this. Didn't know that. Well, that's because you're not watching The Last American Vagabond. Well, going forward, Guillain-Barré syndrome was identified during the marketing authorization process as a possible adverse event, meaning they knew there was a possible issue. Didn't care. Didn't tell you. Where's the informed consent where it said you could get Guillain-Barré syndrome? Didn't happen. The committee continued, adding that it was requesting further detailed data. So now they're looking into it, right? So during the marketing authorization, which in the US is like the emergency use authorization or the approval, while they were getting ready to do it, they already knew there was a possible issue. And they kept that from your view. And now they're looking into it after it's already been administered. They sure care about your safety, huh? According to the UK's National Health Service, Guillain-Barré syndrome is a very rare and serious condition. So let me ask you this. Apparently it is a rare condition. But how many rare conditions that are all being caused by one thing until it's really not rare anymore when they're all together? That's a very rare thrombocytopenia, rare anaphylaxis, rare blood clots, rare. They're all so rare, but they're all happening quite a bit, it would seem. So how many combined makes it no longer rare? In the UK, those under the age of 40 are set to be offered an alternative vaccine that causes no delay. Right. So, yeah. So you're having a big issue with this. We'll just give you a different one. An equally untested experimental injection. Cool. That'll be a safe choice. But that's what's happening. Here's The Hill poll. And this is the funny part of this is how they try to frame this. Poll shows COVID-19 vaccine enthusiasm has reached a plateau, right? You just love the way they frame that. Here's the point. Of course, God, I hate these mainstream articles. It was right here. There it is. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation's, I think I saw this on the Del Big Tree show or his Twitter feed, the share of adults who have not yet gotten vaccinated, but say they intend to do so as soon as they can has fallen to 9%. So we're sitting at about, we just discussed this recently, sitting at about 7 out of 10 Americans roughly have not been vaccinated. That's not what they want you to know though, is it? And now it's 9%, 9% of Americans are the ones going, hey, I'm going to get it. The rest of that 70% of Americans are going, hell no, because we don't trust you. That is the majority showing its face. But what's funny to me is instead of going, oh, it's catastrophically low and nobody's doing this thing, the enthusiasm has gone down, right? The amazing love for this vaccine that cures everything has slightly decreased. It's like, clearly that's not the story. The story is nobody wants this and nobody trusts you. But they have to frame it as the enthusiasm has gone down a little bit. This is the mainstream media for you. How pathetic is that? Like, they must know that you're going to read the second part and go, wow, 9% of people of the majority that haven't gotten it yet are the only ones that want it. And that's just a lessening of enthusiasm. That's just pathetic. I mean, it really is insulting to your intelligence. Nathaniel Weichsel. It's just crazy. But so 9%. 9% of Americans are at least in regard to this citation from the Kaiser Family Foundation, are not excited or not going to get this thing. But don't worry, because we're just going to approve more of them, right? We're just going to keep approving new vaccines, emergency authorizing them without the justification. That's what's actually happening. But see, they want you to think that. They want you to think this is good. We're good. We tested it. We're safe. Nope. It's not what's happening. WHO panel okays emergency use of China's Sinopharm vaccine. So why exactly is this okay, right? We're talking about, this is right here, decision by the WHO Technical Advisory Group, the first for a Chinese vaccine, opens the possibility that Sinopharm's offering could be included in the UN-backed COVAX program, right? COVAX. So we're talking about a group that is tied to somebody you might know. Gavi. You know, Bill and Melinda Gates, it's still the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in any case, but Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, you know, that group that Donald Trump was all glowing about and working with, you know, and this is the problem. It's just another way around this. It's another effort. Now, the problem here is that there is no reason, there's no justification to be quite honest, we'll go over this in a moment, but to continue to emergency authorize vaccines when there are already multiple vaccines in use. That in and of itself undermines the concept of an emergency use. Now, China versus the US, maybe there's some difference here, but the reality is you come to find out that it's not China versus the US. This is all the Gavi, this is all the same direction. So you don't just get to approve, this is unjust, and I'll show you why, which makes it a crime that they're ignoring their own law, which we'll talk about next. But as it says, they're very confident in the Sinopharm vaccine that it protects, guess what? 18 to 59. So the group that's at the least risk? That's interesting. The group that said it has a low confidence in the group that needs it, 60 and over. Isn't that funny? So it's almost like they're doing that on purpose. That's exactly like all the other ones we're seeing. It doesn't make sense. It's almost as if they're trying to use the data to make it look like something's working when really they're not at risk. So they don't get sick. And that's the whole point, is it's about lessening symptoms. It's the same thing. You understand that that's another goalpost that was moved. Before all this, the primary factors of any vaccine trial were stopping transmission and reducing hospitalization. That's what they are. Suddenly, because they either couldn't meet those things or just knew they would never do so, they just changed it and said, well, it reduces your symptoms. Here it says, we came to the conclusion that there is enough evidence. I love that. enough evidence of safety. Like, doesn't that sound like the contrary? Shouldn't you prove that it's safe, right? There's enough evidence that we got enough to prove it might be safe. And the capacity of the vaccine to prevent severe disease. It's the same manipulation they played with these ones, or symptomatic and hospitalization cases by up to 79%. So up to, don't you like that? Up to 79%. So it could be five too, right? The point is that this is meaningless, especially because we can just trust them that that even happens. I don't see any real world data that people are in fact having less. I don't know how you would even prove that, but that's the whole point, isn't it? People, they're just claiming, well, your symptoms are less. So you're real sick. And trust me, it'd be way worse if you didn't have this vaccine. So we're told. But that doesn't mean anything in regard to transmission, to herd immunity, to any of these things they keep screaming about. All this amounts to is taking something like Tylenol to say, well, reduces my headache a little bit. It's ridiculous. And then realize that they're saying the people that are in danger are the ones that it doesn't really work for. And the younger ones that aren't are the ones that we should focus on. There's something weird going on. It says the information we have for people over 60 is very scarce. Wouldn't you think that would be the focus of the entire thing? You would. It's probably because they didn't like what they saw. There is no reason to think. I mean, these are companies with profit motives, guys. They don't care about your safety. They care about your safety insofar as it gets them a profit. There is no reason to think that the vaccine would behave differently in this older group. Oh, well, that makes me feel good, right? So we have really scarce information, right? And we have a low level of confidence in the people over 60. But, you know, we don't see any reason why it just wouldn't work too. So we'll just assume so. That's exactly what they did with transmission and all these other things that they knew didn't work because they didn't pay to find out whether it would, which means I think they knew that it wouldn't. That's directly from the CEO of Moderna telling you that, saying that if they just simply paid us more, we would have done the study to try to find out if it stopped transmission. They didn't do that. The U.S. government made a conscious choice to not find out. Pretty clear to me. Quote, this means the world has yet another safe and effective tool in fighting against the pandemic. Okay, so it's safe and effective, despite the fact that it's your emergency. You haven't even yet emergency authorized it. And we just said that we don't know about 60 or older, but yet it's safe and effective. Like, this is ridiculous. And this is the mantra. It doesn't matter. They just know that's what they need to say to try to meet the emergency authorization. And ask yourself why we would need another tool in the fight against this when there are multiple circulating. It's just, you're adding more, there's something that's trying to be achieved here. And whether this is just competing interest for profit or something more nefarious, none of this should be allowed. Of course, this is coming from Gavi. That's what Gavi is saying. The public-private partnership, of course, because that's their shell game of control. So you can't FOIA request them. It's really just the government doing things in a position where you can't see them. And it was in discussions with several manufacturers, including Sinopharm, to expand and diversify the portfolio further and secure access to additional doses for countries in the COVAX program. Crazy. As I said, how is it allowable to give any more COVID vaccines emergency use authorization? There are numerous vaccines in use already, none of them approved, and treatments, by the way, meaning there is no legal justification for it to get emergency use authorization. Does approval even exist anymore? Like, ask yourself why they wouldn't just keep going for approval while there are, then you'd be the first one to be approved. No, because that's not the game they're playing today. Now, here is the actual law. 21 U.S. Code 360BBB3, authorization for medical products for use in emergencies. Now, there's actually a lot of interesting things in here that I think are worth pointing out, but I just want to go directly to the main point. Criteria for issuance of authorization. It says, if the secretary concludes that an agent referred to in the declaration under Section B, which is talking about COVID-19 or something like that, a dangerous agent, a biological agent or anything. If the secretary concludes that that agent refers to that can cause a serious or life-threatening disease or condition. So right out of the gate, you could make a valid argument that right now the data that they're presenting does not constitute a serious or life-threatening disease. I mean, this is funny. I didn't even think to bring this up. I mean, this seems quite valid now, doesn't it? Here's the UK government. High consequence infectious disease. This was updated on April 22nd, 2021. Here's what they say about the status of COVID-19. As of March 19th, 2020, COVID-19 is no longer considered to be a high consequence infectious disease. Well, isn't that interesting? Well, if you come back here real quick, you can realize that, well, wait a minute. If it's not a high consequence infectious disease, how can you argue that it's going to cause a serious or life-threatening disease. Or you could cause, you could maybe argue that this statement is meant to be vague, and you could argue that if it causes even one serious thing, then we can do it. Well, then that would seem to make sense to apply it in the same logic in reverse for vaccines or anything else. But no, not when that happens, right? But this is how these things are made, so they can sidestep. The generalization is supposed to mean that they cause life-threatening or serious. I don't think that's where we are with this. But going forward. Now it says under B, I'm trying to read it properly. It says, if the secretary concludes that based on the totality of scientific evidence available to the secretary, it is reasonable to believe that the product may be effective in diagnosing, treating, or preventing. Wait a minute. Is that how you read that? Believe that? The known? Okay, it's right there. Sorry. It's weird the way they write these things. So it says, if the secretary concludes that based on the totality of scientific evidence, it is reasonable to believe the known and potential benefits of the product. So the vaccine or the injection, when used to diagnose, prevent, or treat such a disease or condition, outweigh the known and potential risks of the product. Taking into consideration the material threat posed by the agent or agents identified in a declaration under these subsections. Right? So the known potential benefits of the product. Which they're not. I mean, we're testing this right now. When used to diagnose, prevent, or treat such a disease or condition, outweigh the known and potential risks of the product, right? Again, you could make a valid argument based on their own data that that is not, especially with children. Okay, that's the no-brainer. Children have a 0% risk, according to the CDC. Guaranteed there's a higher risk of this vaccine. So the point is that you can't pretend that this is emergency authorized for these children. You just can't. It's against the law. They don't care. It says under three, if the secretary concludes that there is no adequate, approved, or available alternative to the product for diagnosing, preventing, or treating this disease or condition. We all know that's not true, right? I mean, we could first of all talk about the things that I hate talking about because it's all supporting Big Pharma, but there's plenty of things, historically speaking, that have shown to have huge effects on respiratory illnesses and other things in the same category, right? We've heard about all of them. We've talked about hydroxychloroquine, remdesivir, and ivermectin. As I say last time, I hate that I even know those names. As always, it should be your choice. If you believe that should help, then if you're in a situation where you feel it's necessary, it's your body. The fact that your government's saying, no, you can't have those things, despite these doctors right over here saying it's the best thing for you. It should be your choice. I don't endorse any of it because I don't think I'm more of a natural minded person where I would say that how about vitamin C, vitamin D, 1,000 other things that we've talked about that very clearly historically show in any case to increase and benefit your immune system. Which, of course, we know if we're not children today and listening to governments and science that say the opposite of things we've always known, we know that that is 100% true, that vitamin D and vitamin C will increase your immune system, and that fights any kind of issue in regard to infections, viruses. I mean, bottom line is it makes it harder. Your body's easy. It's easier to fight things off. In no way is anybody claiming this will cure you everything. Right? That's what they're trying to say about their weird thing. But the point is, these are there. So you cannot argue that there's no alternative. But that is what people say. That's what the argument is of why they refused to do this with things like that. Why didn't they emergency authorize vitamin D for this? Clearly, there's more history of efficacy. Why don't they emergency authorize ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine? How about both? Right? Both of them have a very clear record of having more effect than these injections. They didn't do it because if they did, this wouldn't be allowed. And now they're about to emergency authorize another vaccine. Still, while these things are here. It says that the known and potential benefits of the product, so the injection, when used to diagnose, prevent, or treat the disease, outweigh the known and potential risks of the product. So it's the same concept that I argue is not the case, especially for children. Make sure, I thought I missed something. Going down. Now it says, under required conditions, with respect to the emergency use, the secretary, to the extent practical, given the circumstances described in subsection, I guess that doesn't work up there. So just concluding the following, appropriate conditions designed to ensure that healthcare professionals administering the product are informed. That's not happening. I just showed you this, right? But the FDA document that I was just showing you says very clearly that they have to. It's in bold. They have to inform the people that this is an emergency authorized vaccine that is not approved for use. They even the Pfizer with the FDA in that document, that was an update. They added that and said, you have to tell them this. Go right now. So are there appropriate conditions to ensure that professionals are administering the product they're informed? Obviously not. In fact, the opposite. So there you go. Here's another one to add to the list of why this is an illegal authorization. It says, of the significant known and potential benefits and risks of the emergency use of the product and the extent to which such benefits and risks are unknown. They're supposed to tell you these things. They're not telling you of the things they don't know. They're not telling you. I wasn't going to bring it up. I talked about it, but look, this is a good example of this. Whoa. Hold on now. This just changed. They updated this. Look at that. Well, that's even more interesting. This was October 2020. You can see that right there. But this is now saying March 2021, which means this has been either peer-reviewed or I'll look into it after the fact, but that's a big deal. Because look at what it says. This is the results of this study in regard to informed consent disclosure to vaccine trial subjects. And it's not just for trial subjects, understand. Right now it's being real-world use. It says, COVID-19 vaccines designed to elicit neutralizing antibodies may sensitize vaccine recipients to more severe disease than if they didn't take it at all. That is called antibody-dependent enhancement. Now it says down here, the specific and significant COVID-19 risk, which is a huge statement. Usually they're more ambiguous about their language. The specific and significant risk, which means they're damn certain of specifically antibody-dependent enhancement, which means your body starts attacking itself, should have been and should be, as of right now, and it's not, prominently and independently disclosed. Like, by itself on the cover. Like, you could get you could have a very severe reaction to this. And this is to research subjects in the vaccine trials, to those that are being recruited for those trials, including the pregnant women and the children, which aren't being told, and future patients after approval, which means right now, even though it's not approved, the people that are being given this are the guys that it is, even though it's emergency authorized. So they are not being told. In order to meet the medical ethics standard of patient comprehension for informed consent. So they're not telling you that this could literally kill you, not just with strokes and thrombosis. This is real stuff here, that your body could begin to attack itself, and it leads in a lot of very dangerous directions. Why wouldn't they tell you this stuff, guys? Why would they keep this from your view? Now, on that same note, they're not informing you of the unknown risks or the known risks. Violation. Appropriate conditions designed to ensure that individuals to whom the product is administered are informed. Right there. They're not doing that. Informed consent is not being met according to the science. Right? This is the science. There's not another one that says, nope, fake news. This is the science that was done in this regard. And it's quite sound. I plead with all of you to look at it for yourself. I'm interested to see why they put this up here and what they did different. I'm assuming that means it was probably, I don't know, I don't want to jump to conclusions, but that, nonetheless, very sound science that's showing you that you're at risk. And the secretary has authorized the product, and says that we're informed of the significant known and potential, I just read that, appropriate conditions for the monitoring and reporting of adverse events associated with this emergency use of product. Is that happening? All they're doing is dismissing anything that goes on theirs, which is the official place to put them. They've created a situation where they can dismiss any of the reports they're telling you to give. It's ridiculous. So are we pretending that's an appropriate condition for monitoring? They're not monitoring any of this stuff. They do not have the resources to monitor hundreds of thousands of adverse events. They just don't. I think that was it. There's a lot more in here, but we need to understand that very clearly, they right now do not have the legal justification to approve any of these things, to emergency authorize any of these, let alone approve these things. It's staggering to me that nobody knows this stuff. And as I said before, in regard to that first point about experimental, right? This is the idea. This is responding to Jimmy. I just want to grab this so we have the links in it. Here's the links for you included. As you know, this is January 12th, 2021, experimental coronavirus vaccine, mRNA-1273. That's the Moderna vaccine. If they're calling it experimental after its administration in January in 2021, or the beginning of it, it's experimental. Even the company calls it investigational. This is an experimental vaccine. Largely because it's unapproved, as I just showed you. Unapproved. Not approved. There's no approved vaccines. And yet they're trying to make this happen. But I take it all back, because Twitter Moments told me that their experts that they don't cite think it's safe. Thank God that Twitter's got their scientific department, right? COVID-19 vaccines are safe for people who menstruate and there's no evidence they affect fertility, according to medical experts. Let's quickly take a look at who those are and what they have to say. Oh, weird. They don't say anything. They just repeat what they just said in the title and say, experts say. Which ones? Who cares? Twitter says experts say. That seems real. I mean, it doesn't even matter if it's real. It's meaningless, because they have come to the conclusion that their status is enough. Twitter, the mainstream media, they just cite things and say experts say, or they say intelligence people told us. They feel like their status is enough. It's not. You need to demand source material from everybody. How incredible is that? I just think it's so insulting. What you need to know, the evidence that and a PolitiFact argument, which basically cites the same, it cites Facebook posts and how overly ridiculous they are and how that means everybody's wrong. Well, no, that's not true at all. As I said, I highly recommend you check out this discussion as I get into the menstrual disruption part of this, and how I'll leave it to you to come to your own conclusions, as you should. But there is far too much happening here. Far too many people that I've heard reports of, including very close people to me, including in my family, that are seeing and feeling menstrual cycle after, you know, whether actually having another period or actually just feeling different menstrual cycle symptoms after being on menopause for 4 years, or any number of other situations. And this is because they're around somebody who was vaccinated. Yes, it's anecdotal, but there's a lot of it happening, as well as the fact that people who just get the vaccine are having all sorts of weird menstrual cycle issues, and it's being reported like crazy. But because it takes so much to prove these things, I mean, even right now, the proven link to blood clots is still being called an unconfirmed link to the mainstream media. So why would we trust that they care? They don't care about this stuff. They care about defending it. That's all. Now, in regard to the vaccine itself, now prefacing this, by the way, it's important, as always, this is from ban.video, and you know my opinion about InfoWars. I think they're entirely part of the problem, or at least they were. I haven't been watching in a long time. Not that I really was. I think InfoWars is part of the problem in regard to their bombastic, like, over the reporting about things that are, you know, like, they're reporting on sound discussions that make them look ridiculous. And I tend to feel that's why they do it. But me only saying that, just because I'm showing InfoWars video to make the point, though, it doesn't matter where these things come from, right? It doesn't ultimately matter if you've got the source material, right? If it doesn't matter if Alex Jones says something, if you can look it up and read it for yourself. But here's a point of video from a nurse, or specifically a pharmacist, who is showing you something that I've already seen, by the way. This is not new, and this is not something that is hard to prove or verify. But the only problem is, the only people that see these inserts, for the most part, are people in their position. So ask yourself why all these pharmacists have not cared or not spoken up about the weird situation that all of the inserts are blank. You know, where it would normally show you what's in them and the danger, everything else. No, blank. Watch for yourself.
Bring this open. And perfectly on top is this perfectly normal package insert. A lot of safety and efficacy data. In fact, all of the normal information that we would find in a package insert, like the ingredients, that would all be found right here in the package insert.
Wow. Look at that. This is what they should look like, guys. Right? And again, I challenge all, just start asking around. Look up for video. You will find this. And it's few and far between, because but think about what that means. That these pharmacists are probably going, what the hell? Like, maybe this is just a fluke, you know, and they check, oh my God, they're all blank. Like, what does that mean? And they don't say anything about that. Like, that is hugely controversial because they're telling you that you have all this information, but you don't. They're hiding it from you. At the very least, they don't want to show you for some crazy reason, yet screaming that you're all safe and effective. Don't worry. How unnerving is that? Well, it's because this is what we're seeing, guys, and it doesn't stop. Draper teenager hospitalized with blood clots after COVID-19 vaccine shot. It's just so many of these over and over. And the doctors are saying, a lot of them now are saying what they think it is. And it's just not getting reported by the mainstream. The day after his COVID-19 vaccine shot, 17-year-old, you know, a person with zero risk, according to the CDC, felt his neck swelling. His name was Everest. In the coming days, he suffered from severe headaches. Okay, so at this point, anybody honest, like let's say you had taken anything else. Let's say you had taken some new experimental headache medication, and then suddenly your neck swole a day later. Of course, the doctor would be like, well, let's make sure it wasn't that medication first, just to be safe, right? Not in COVID world, because they know that they'll be attacked if they even hint at the possibility that this thing could be causing the very obvious problem that's most likely causing it. Whatever. And that's what's so frustrating is these doctors are literally contradicting, challenging, breaking their own oath of the Hippocratic Oath. They are putting you at risk because they're afraid to be called out. It says his mother, who tells ABC4, the pediatrician, initially dismissed the symptoms as a pulled neck muscle. Right. So he pulled his neck a day later without actually doing any activity. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. She says she was convinced it was something else. So this is where it gets to the point to where the doctors no longer listen to you, like they're supposed to, right? Informed consent and all, right? They're supposed to hear you and hear what you think is going on, not just tell you what you're supposed to know. Because that's how they're taught today in medical school. Give them the pills, tell them what they're supposed to be told, let them go. Because if they say anything else, they're fake anti-science or something, anti-vaxxers. Not that that necessarily comes from medical school, it probably does. But she was convinced. Now it says he couldn't move his neck, although it was bad. And it says just a few days after the shot, this is plus her son suffered from fevers, headaches, all this stuff, right? Still wouldn't acknowledge the reality. Romney says she knew she needed to keep advocating to the doctor that something wasn't right. So he just kept saying, nah, it's probably the neck. This could have killed this kid. And maybe it still will. He's in the hospital right now. Finally, after more than a week of symptoms that were ignored by this doctor because he didn't want to admit that the vaccine could be the cause, the Corner Canyon High School basketball player and his family had answers. Excuse me, I read that funny. That's their family. They found two blood clots in his brain, one on the outside. Just take a moment and realize that in a week after this vaccine that's already been proven to cause blood clots, a week, he has two blood clots in his brain and one on the outside. I highly recommend you guys check out Dr. Bakhti's interview with Taylor Hudak on The Last American Vagabond, or Dr. Yeadon with her as well, because they're calling this out. They're saying the spike protein is the problem here. The vaccine's being given and it is causing clots in your brain, which at least Dr. Bakhti thinks is causing almost all the side effects we're seeing that are being misdiagnosed as something else. A week, blood clots. He could have died the next day and that doctor would have been at fault because he's afraid to stand up for what he believes in, or he's bad at his job. Quote, the hardest thing was I let him get the shot. This is the mom. And he was healthy and well before that. This is the mom now killing herself, beating herself up because she let him take this even though he was healthy and had 0% risk. Here is the risk that you bring on by giving a person with 0% risk a shot that's causing problems. Because that makes sense. Under some foggy guise of like protecting other people, even though that doesn't make sense because it can still spread it, you can still catch it. It's nonsense, guys. Here's another sad story. 1980s siren Tawny Kitaen of music videos and bachelor party dies at 59. Now, what I found interesting, and you guys can come to your own conclusions about this. Obviously, as usual, no discussion. And usually the weird thing that stands out today is that, you know, after you would clearly know what's going on, well, the cause of death is unknown. Ah, that's interesting, right? Yeah, why? Because she just died suddenly in a room without any cause. I wonder what could have caused it, right? I mean, you know, I'm not saying that we know for sure. My point is that it's ridiculous that we keep seeing this happen. It just could cause death is unknown. Okay. That sometimes happens, but over and over and over, we're seeing that. Now, here's the interesting part. I just did a quick search on her Twitter feed. And it just simply says, "You all mean so much to me. I want to have an amazing week." And she's commenting. And this guy says, "Thanks for the kind words, Tawny. Not much sharing of anything when you live alone. Radio work is on hold and just waiting for the vaccine. Sigh. Although it's nice to hear encouraging words for pretty girl." Here's what she had to say on January 20th. "John, you're so sweet. I hope you get that vaccine and quick. I'm waiting for it myself. Just pray to God we get it quick and get life moving again." Okay. So is it possible that she didn't get it and she died from natural causes? Sure it is. But when in a situation where we're watching people die from this vaccine as the government tries to hide it, while we're watching people have severe adverse events that they're trying to pretend aren't happening, or watching this stuff in real time, the first question that comes to my mind, and I don't find it to be unrealistic, is, well, did they get the vaccine? I'm sure a lot of you feel the same way. And that doesn't mean that I assume that either, and you shouldn't either. Do your due diligence. But the point is that this is interesting to me. Clearly, she was waiting for this, wanted to get it. She's famous. Maybe she got it early, right? But it's easily acceptable to think that she got it from January 20th until sometime between then and May 8th. Interesting. If you know more information, let me know. In any case, I find it sad that people are dying, whether her or anybody else, and nobody's willing to ask the obvious question because they're afraid of the narrative. I have this on Wayback Machine too, just in case. But here's another sad one that I have no connection to. I'm just curious if anybody sees anything. Vans co-founder Paul Van Doren died at age 90. He's old as well, but you know, just want to throw it out there. Just seeing these things happen. I'm just curious to see. As far as I can look into it, it doesn't really seem like there's a solid information about why. You know, that tends to raise a flag for me. But just out of curiosity, the point is, as I always say, guys, we should not be afraid to ask questions. They are desperate to make you feel like you can't ask that question because you're a crazy conspiracy theorist. That's not what that means. It means you're an intelligent person that's willing to ask questions about anything. When they call you a conspiracy theorist these days, it's a badge of honor. I don't even care if you're actually out there spreading a bunch of nonsense. When they call you that, it means they're afraid of you. It means they don't like what you're saying because it counters something that they hold dear and maybe even secretly know is probably not true, right? There's a lot of that negativity and deflection and reflexive anger when that happens. But going forward, Angela Nashville, Kelly states that she is 28 days past post-experimental injection of Moderna and that she has 23 symptoms. She's looking for someone who won't treat it like a mental problem. Now, this is one I was able to find myself. Now, this is the point is that I even asked, like, oh, I really wish you'd put those links in there with all these because she gets good spread right now. Just, I mean, if she could link to the profiles, I'm telling you, it would go much, much further. She's doing a good job of covering just the personal reports on what's going on. But I have a hard time reporting this unless I can find the account and make sure it's real. But in any case, here's her profile picture. Here's what she says. "Today is day 28 post second Moderna shot. I've been very ill ever since. They are suspecting an immune disorder at this point." Right. So you see what I mean? Like the first thing should be, well, the vaccine might have caused this. So they're just going to assume there might be an immune disorder. And it's probably possible the vaccine caused it anyway. But the point is that they don't know that, but they're going to assume anything other than the obvious culprit in front of them. And she's waiting on results. She says she has 23 symptoms. She's had bad treatment in emergency room. Something is really wrong. She's freaking out. Edit. "I'm having trouble reading other people's posts because of anxiety. My blood pressure and heart rate are already high. What I'm here looking for is understanding, but also resources and medical professionals that won't treat me like this is a mental problem. Also, has anyone applied for disability? I ended up in the hospital when I tried to bartend. Thanks in advance." Or to bartend. Maybe that's what it says. In any case, symptoms list. Negative tests, 3 COVID tests, negative flu, negative mono, 2 egg, all these different tests that she's getting. But that's, you know, all these negative tests. It's ridiculous. But high BP rate, this is your lymph nodes. I mean, that's a big deal right there. High monocytes had lowered while he was risen. Anyway, weakness, shallow breathing, all these things she's dealing with. And all they can do is you're crazy, right? You must be crazy because we know it's not the vaccine. That's not a doctor. That's crazy. Here's a Stanford man who vows to battle back after losing his leg weeks after receiving AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine, right? Because we know that this thing doesn't cause blood clots or anything. It doesn't create the issue, right? Of course not. His left leg was amputated below the knee. His foot started to swell and he was rushed to the hospital after the, of course, AstraZeneca vaccine. His flu-like symptoms started within hours, which is what they remember. Here's a good example. They tell you, oh, that's normal, right? It's all good. That's what you should. If you feel that, it means it's working, right? So then people like Dave go, oh, okay, I know this feels really bad, but they tell me it's a good sign. So I'm going to go home and take a nap. Then you wake up dead because instead of going to the hospital and having your foot cut off, you die or something bad happens or you have a blood clot, and you have a stroke, right? This is what the honest doctors are telling you. If you have symptoms and you feel bad, go to the hospital. Well, shoot. I mean, geez, it's hard. It's hard for me to even recommend going to a hospital today. I've heard so many stories of people sending in their parents and they never come out again in COVID land. But nonetheless, think about how crazy that is. That in a normal sense, you're telling them something that could be very problematic and indicative of any number of things that are serious, like a blood clot. They're going, nah, you're good. Just tough it out because it means it's working on your body. That is medical misinformation. There he is. The medics haven't confirmed the cause of infection. But Dave feels it was linked to the vaccine. So as they run around digging under rocks and saying, look, could it be the infections? Oh, could it have been something in the hospital? They refuse to look at the obvious right in front of them. It's just pathetic. 48-year-old Ohio surgeon and military veteran Thomas Lee Flanagan dies after Moderna vaccine. Here he is with his vaccine card. And here there's some posts that he had. Do y'all remember before the internet? That people thought the cause of stupidity was a lack of access to information. Yeah, it wasn't it, right? All making fun of people, like all you internet sleuths out there, you're so stupid, right? Well, here's the sad reality. Dies. We're looking at 10/31. He dies April 27th. Oh, right. No, I'm sorry. That's the wrong... Oh, that's his birth date. Hold on. Where is it? Right? Oh, it's right here. 2/3. Right? So two and a half months later or more. The point is even Dr. Fauci puts the side effects within a 45-day window. Do we know for sure that this was killed him? That this is what killed him? No, we don't. But how many do we need to see? Right? Read up on this. This is not somebody who had the justification for it. It's strange. And all they can do is go, oh, we don't know, and sad, and we're not going to think about it too much, and we're just going to talk about his life, instead of realizing that there's obvious reasons to be concerned about what's going on today. Adverse reactions to the COVID-19 jab now include 20,000 blood disorders, 18,000-plus ear-eye disorders, deafness and blindness, 3,900 reproductive disorders. Right here they are screaming about, oh, no, there's no evidence at all, as they've got almost 4,000 reports of reproductive disorders. Right. And now, oh, those are VAERS. They're not approved. We don't know for sure. Okay. Then look into them. You can't just claim zero because you don't care to research this stuff. And a shocking 158,571 nervous system disorders, brain damage, seizure and stroke. A lot of them, I think, predominantly from Pfizer. But that's why it's interesting that they're only focusing on one side of this. What she shares in this article, this is from the UK government. Coronavirus vaccine weekly summary, yellow card reporting. And I recommend you look at this. It's unreal. Now, these are all the things that this is the yellow card reporting in the UK versus the, where is it? It is further down versus the, you know, VAERS system in the US. It writes, all these are listed out. You should read through the whole damn thing, but I was trying to show you these here. So they give you these links down here where you can actually go to, here's Pfizer, AstraZeneca, where you can actually go to the document. Look for yourself. I've shown you this already in the past, and it will blow your mind. These are just blood disorders, right? And you go down and you can find the total. 5,278. Yes, they're reported. But look, there's 67 reports of thrombocytopenia for Pfizer. 67. That's more than the rest. At least, well, I haven't checked in a minute, so I don't take that back. Maybe it's more, but the point is that's a lot. And here's 37 more immune thrombocytopenia. The point is, these are exactly what they're pointing at in AstraZeneca, and no one cares to talk about Pfizer. Why? There's a reason. In any case, you can go. It's all of them. Cardiac disorders. I mean, it will blow your mind how much of the, how many issues we are seeing that nobody's talking about. And yes, their reports. Some of them could be wrong, but as we told you before, and the document that was funded by the HHS, Health and Human Services, with Harvard, did their study and found out that 1% is the amount we get. 1% of the reporting of the adverse events get reported. And in fact, they say in the report quite clearly that adverse events are common, but underreported, which literally contradicts what the media keeps saying. They're very rare. All of them are rare. Very rarely happens. Nope. That's not what HHS and Harvard found, as well as the fact that they found that they wanted to set up a system that was, they basically wanted to set up a system that was constant and reactive, and the CDC stopped responding, emails, phones, didn't respond, and it just died in its tracks. So the CDC made a conscious choice to not get the new system and keep VAERS. Why would they do that? Because VAERS can be dismissed. Here is a medical doctor PhD telling you, ask yourself, am I already naturally immune to COVID-19? Do I really need the vaccine if I've been infected? These are not unreasonable questions. And if any public official tells you that they are, then the officials are suspects, not you or your questions. Thank you. All right? An expert who has a right to speak on these things, who's telling you that there's people that are lying to you. Now, on this note, I just want to make a quick point in regard to this, like what he's saying, like naturally immune. Do you have it? Have you been affected? Of course, there's people out there that are saying, what? By what? It's not real, right? This doesn't exist. And there's a lot around that discussion that is valid to talk about. Now, I'm not going to get into it today, but I wanted to show you a response that I said to somebody the other day. And I need people to hear this, okay? Because this is important. And this is basic logic, okay? The idea, I'll just read what I said. This is very simple. If we had proof that this does not exist, right? Not just here, we can tell they didn't isolate it. They've never shown it to exist. They've never done this. But proof that we can show proof that they did the study and hey, oh, it's not actually there. If we had that, that would mean it doesn't exist. When we have no proof that it does exist, which is where we are right now, such as no isolation, that simply means that we have not proven it is what they say, which also could mean it doesn't exist. Right? But not that we know for sure that it's not there. I know a lot of people put their entire investment in this one point that this is what everything is. And maybe you're right, but we need to be objective, guys. Realize what I'm saying is that they could have just, I'll keep reading what I said. This is remedial. I said, it could just as easily be something they engineered and not by ice and by not isolating it. They're simply keeping that fact from view. Or it could mean that it does not exist at all. But we don't know, in my opinion. This is honest and being objective. If that bothers you, that's likely because you want it to be a certain way. And maybe you're right. But we don't know, in my opinion. And we need to be honest enough to admit that. Now, look, I'm speaking for myself. Maybe you completely disagree, even though I don't see how that's possible, because I think the evidence, I mean, unless you have something that you can show me that proves that. But we need to be honest with ourselves and realize that that could be one of the cases here. Now, I've done entire shows on this for those that have been following my work. And just because I don't repeat it every show that this is something that's possible, people tend to think that I'm going one way or the other. No, I'm just being objective and continuing to read into the different narratives and different sides and countering their narrative from using their narrative from within, right? We do this all the time. But simply not being isolated, and I've gone over all of this from Koch's postulates and the Chinese CDC saying they didn't isolate it, it could mean something else. It could. My gut, based on that evidence, tells me that there's something very fishy going on there. And it could very likely mean that that's not actually there. And they're using, you know, nanotechnology that mimics viruses like Charles Lieber was working on, or like all the science they've been working on. You know, I can't prove that either. That's why I don't know for sure. And I won't report that. Anyway, I hope that's clear, because there's a lot of people that like the show. They're in the audience that are constantly saying, it's not there. Quit saying that. And I'm not technically saying that. I'm just reporting this from a point. Like, there's the idea is this doctor saying this is because he believes that, and it makes a valid point to people that currently do, right? There's a nuance that's always happening here. Now, here's Toronto's top doctor saying, get the vaccine because COVID's not going away. Okay, so if you're going to live with this forever, so get the vaccine that you're going to have to get again because you keep have to wearing a mask and distancing. So get the thing that doesn't stop anything at all and doesn't stop transmission because it's never going away. This is ridiculous. So why are we still in lockdown then, right? I mean, this is crazy. Listen to what she says.
In my view, your best protection is a vaccination.
So someone's got a 0% chance of getting sick or dying, according to the CDC, is supposed to take a vaccine that has a possible risk of something else, and that's their best protection?
Because COVID-19 isn't going away anytime soon, in my view.
And so that's it. It's going to be here, guys. They keep telling you that, and no one's listening. At least the people on the side of trusting the plan and the government, right? It's like, well, it's funny. I didn't even mean to influence, to draw images of Q right there, but it's funny how it's, they're all trusting the plan, right? All these people here trusting the plan. Right now, if you're one of those Q people that's looking back on this going, they're crazy. That was just what you looked like back when you were trusting the plan before nothing ultimately happened. But it's about trusting the government. That's always what it is. Johns Hopkins doctor dismisses fear-mongering. Right. This is what I love is that they're countering. This is what I keep talking about. You can't if you lie about everything, you will eventually step in a direction that contradicts something you lied about before while you're selling a current lie. She says most of the country is at herd immunity. What? So shouldn't that mean that we're already good and we shouldn't lock down and we shouldn't be forcing vaccines? Yeah, but no, she won't say that in the certain context. She's saying this. Because she doesn't want that. Basically, I'll read the first paragraph. It says a surgeon at Johns Hopkins Hospital disrupted CDC director, disputed, excuse me. I was like, that doesn't make sense. Disputed the claim that COVID-19 variants could set back the march to herd immunity. So this, see, the reason that she's making this claim is because that undermines the vaccine in their minds, right? So the variants will make that not work. Okay. Well, that means the vaccines won't work. Oh, we can't say that. So she's willing to counter the entire narrative to argue that the vaccines are still valid. But if you actually listen and realize that if most of us are hurt, meaning the majority, that means that we don't even need to take the vaccine. We're there. We've got herd immunity, right? That's the point, as well as the fact that we don't need to be on lockdown or do any of these other things anymore. But none of that's even true. I mean, I could argue that it's possible that we all have herd immunity already because of what happened long before they pretended this was going on, or the fact that we have colds in the past that already give us antibodies, or a thousand other things we've discussed, but they don't care about that because it's not about natural immunity. It's about vaccine induced, whatever it ends up being. They call it immunity, even though it doesn't actually do that. But it's ridiculous that they're drowning in their own lies right now, and they're reeling trying to make this happen. And that's why this stuff happens. But don't forget that they're already pushing out the vaccine passports all over the world. You know, that thing that was fake news that we all lied about up until it literally started happening around us. And right now they're still saying it's fake news as it continues to happen. Canada will come up with its certification to allow COVID clear Canadians to travel again. So that is just a background way of saying vaccine passports to ensure that if you've had the vaccine, then you can go about doing things, but still with restrictions, though. Still masking and distancing, of course, but it's just so ridiculous to me. But it's happening. And here, Luke Radowski shared this. No plans for, this is in January 14th. No plans for, even as he like kind of attacks it, divisive vaccine passports. We're not going to do that. And that's when all the supporters of the government said, you're fake news. See, he's not going to do it. He said, we trust him. And then February 26th, Trudeau says there are pros and cons to vaccine passport idea. We'll listen to the experts. And even then they're going, no, he just said that because of blah, blah, blah. I've been watching this whole thing evolve. And here we are on April 28th. Trudeau says COVID-19 vaccine passports to be expected. And even then they're going, well, no, probably it's just a threat to get us to do this. Nobody wants to admit these things that don't want to see that they've been wrong. We told you this was coming the moment this started, the moment we saw what this really was, the moment we saw the breadth, the scope of how far reaching this was. We said, here it is. We knew this was coming. We've been calling this forever. I mean, I don't care what you want to call it. You can even talk about things like the New World Order. That's always like a joking topic. That is, look at what's happening right now. I mean, you got people like Reagan or different people throughout that have literally stated that exact term all the way up until Clinton and after. And we still go, oh, that's so, it's a silly black helicopter tinfoil hat. I mean, we're watching this stuff happen. Talk about cognitive dissonance. It's crazy. Finally, to finish, anyone else seen this narrative? I hadn't until they shared it. Thank you, Pontificating Blowhard. It's a great name. This is on their Fox News TV. Conditions for 1 week national vacation. No internet, no Instagram lives, no Netflix and chill, no gaming streams on Twitch. Oh, okay. That's pretty weird. Well, yeah, this is actually a New York Times article. The case for a national 1 week vacation, as they show everybody gallivanting outside, except that's not allowed in half this country right now, or they're not worried. Like, the point is, this is supposed to be indicative of the vaccinated people running free because we've done, well, that's not even close to what's actually happening for those people. But here's what it says very clearly, what they're telling you. It says, as the subject line of this memo suggests, I think the entire nation needs a simultaneous week off, or, you know, a week absent of information that's coming from people they don't want you to see, you know, that too, a paid week off, a paid week off. This won't work unless you're all on board, or you're on board, all of you, the government and corporations and small businesses, and each and every citizen is part of this. We need 100% participation, which, of course, well, I don't care. Even if it was the most popular thing in the world, you would never get that. So it's just weird. It's sort of like them always saying that they were. I just heard this discussion. Somebody shared me this ridiculous discussion with Chelsea Clent and other people today. I was almost going to talk about it, but who cares about those people? But she was saying something there, and he responded by saying, you know, of course, because that's the main point. They were talking about another country, by the way, India. And they say, because none of us in this United States are safe unless everyone's safe everywhere. So now they've broadened that out to not just every American. Now, until COVID is gone in the world, we're all in danger all the time. This is not even a joke. That's literally what he said. There's nothing that's ever applied that way in our entire lives. But now, because the goalposts moving, COVID clown world, that's because this is the terror. This is the war on terror in a bio world. Do you ever, I mean, that's still going, by the way. Do you ever think the war on terror was going to end, right? Because how do you defeat terror exactly? Please explain that to me. It was never designed to end, and neither is this. It goes, oh, let me finish this part. It says, has the front to front the cash. So not only are they promoting you ignoring information for a week, who God knows what they'll accomplish then, but they're also trying to push universal basic income. You know, we'll pay you to do nothing. And it has to be clean, defined, break, sharp as a knife. No amorphous, gooey, bouncy, rolling, spring break. One solid week. No one works. Nothing happens. No work, no emails, no schoolwork, right? It's all about the internet and your information. That's what that's about. Important for this week. No internet. Of course, that is the italic. That's what it's all about. No Netflix, no anything else. Why do you think they want you to do that? Because we're winning. Because we are reaching people and they're terrified. So they're trying to do everything they can to get you to not pay attention to what's going on. That's what's happening. It's important that we recognize that, because they are afraid of you. It's time to utilize that. Now, thank you for being here today. Shorter than usual, for sure, but I went longer than I wanted to. I'm going to try to jump over with Robert right now. I hope he's still available. And if he is, we will get this going tonight. In probably the next half hour or so, and jump on with Robert and talk about what's going on in Israel and Palestine right now, in occupied Palestine. So thank you for being here. I hope this information resonated with some people, and I will try to clip that one part up in general, but we got plenty more coming nonstop, because we will never give up. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.